May God bless each one here this evening. Again, I greet you in the name of Jesus, and thank you, Brother Lyndon, for those thoughts. And I'm going to try to hang those thoughts in a hook over here somewhere, and hopefully I can pull them down in a little bit, because my thoughts are very similar to Brother Lyndon's thoughts this evening. But before, I would like to just show you something here I brought along, especially for the children. I know we don't have many children, but I'm glad for the ones that are here. I have something here. What do you think it is? It's not a cat's question, by the way. I know we're scared to say the obvious, right? They're marbles. They're marbles, okay? When I was growing up in Central America, we played a lot of marbles. Lots. There was I can explain, it's a little complicated game, but we had a circle on the ground, on the dirt, and you put some of your marbles in there, and there was a system how to go about this, and you turned to, you had a shooter, you tried to get the marbles out of the circle. That once you knocked out of the circle, they were yours. And a lot of times we played where whatever you got, it was yours. So sometimes you went to play marbles. It was almost like gambling, because you went to play with 10 marbles and you came home with 50, or you came out with your pockets empty. Now, it was always questionable procedure to whether we should play that or not. Well, my dad said, well, y'all can play as long as y'all don't get mad if you lose. Well, thank you, Dad. That was great advice. I'm glad you're not here. We got very mad at each other. But what I'm trying to get at it is that we used to keep marbles in a sock. That was a good way of keeping marbles in a sock. Now, poor Dad, he lost one of his ugly socks. Maybe he's still looking for it. But what I'm trying to get to it, I'm getting somewhere, children. I'm taking me a while to get there, but I used to have about three different socks with the different marbles. I don't know whatever happened to the other ones, but I have still got one left. And the ones that were very special, because there's a lot of pretty marbles. You know, they're very different colors. Some are bright. Some have stripes on it. And there's some very, very beautiful. So I used to keep him in a sock. I didn't want to play with him every day, because with the ones that you play with, they got chipped. You know, they're glass. So the glass got chipped. There were some of them that were so chipped up, they hardly roll anymore. But the ones that were special, I kept them in a separate sock, in a drawer of my chest drawers with the clothes that were there. That was one of my many treasures. Okay, that treasure, that, and especially in the evenings when we didn't have much to do, we would sit around the house. I only had one brother, so we didn't have much to do. Sometimes we would get our marbles out and get our rug and spill them out, and that way we could look at them. We could examine them and go over them, and I kind of made a mental note of what actually I had in there. You know, I had a blue one just like that one. I had a red one that he had the stripe there. And I kind of took some track of it. But what I'm trying to say is that was a treasure for me. Okay? It was a treasure. And I just want to encourage you, children. I know we have different things, different treasures. It can be maybe a tractor that your grandpa gave you, a toy tractor, or a collectible item. Some of you young people maybe have a shotgun that grandpa had, you know, or something special. And you need to appreciate that. But more than that, you need to learn to appreciate the Word of God. No, Brother Lyndon read these verses in Proverbs here, chapter 8, of wisdom. And we understand that wisdom comes from God. And we find wisdom in the Word of God. And it says here, for wisdom is better than rubies. And all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. So here I have another thing that looks like a diamond. I should say right away that it's not a diamond, or else you might be tackling me and robbing me. Can you imagine if this would be a real diamond? We can build a new facility right away, couldn't we, with it? But this is just a piece of glass that I bought in the shape of a diamond. Very pretty. Very pretty, has the different facets, kind of like how they cut the diamonds. And what I'm here just telling you, especially the children, but you all are welcome to listen to, you're listening very well, that the Word of God should be a treasure for us. Again, I'm going to reread that verse, chapter 8, verse 11. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. In Psalm 19, he talks about the law of the Lord and how precious it is and all the things that he does for us. And he says that it should be more desirable than gold. There more to be desired than gold. I can't quote it right now. But I want you to remember that, children, that we need to treasure the Word of God. And keep it. Keep. Go look at it. Pull it up. And go and examine that. Now, going into the message this evening, my thoughts again were very similar to Brother Lyndon. Whenever I get to the end of a weekend of meetings or a week of meetings or at the end of Bible school, my burden is similar, with idea that now I learn a lot of things. Now I heard a lot of things. What in the world am I going to do with them? My easiest tendency is to say, wow, that was a good weekend. You know, we had a good weekend. We learned a lot of good things. We went to Bible school. I know this is not the end of Bible school, but for me, it's my last day. So I feel like I'm leaving, which I am, and you're staying here. Praise the Lord, right? But I'm going to say, and I always go with that burden and say, Lord, how can I treasure what I learned? What am I going to do with what I learned? Okay? And I remember 10 years ago, 2016, was the first time I came to Bible school to teach as a teacher. And that year, we had a plague that came around. That was before COVID. And I think it was COVID-16 instead of 19. We got sick that year. There was a lot of, I know some of you are sick, I'm sharing that so you know I can sympathize with you. I was super sick. And Brother Anthony Good was the principal that year, and he asked me if I would preach at the closing program, if I could give a short message. And I struggled with it because I was very sick. I think that's the only time I preached with fever. Thank God. But I survived. Obviously, I'm still here. And this is a similar message. I remember the burden right there. We were staying in one of those apartments by the gym. And I remember the burden that the Lord gave me for the young people. And I was, you know, again, we were about to leave. We had studied the whole 3 weeks. I thought I'd preach and taught everything that there is to be taught. And we were leaving. And my burden was this. What are you going to do with all this? So the title of the message this evening is simply, Fool or Wise? Which one are you? And again, it's a similar thoughts Brother Lyndon had about wisdom cries on the street. What are you going to do with that? You're going to listen to wisdom. Sometimes it could be so simple, right? I do want to thank you for your friendship. You have been very attentive. At least it looked like it, like Brother Lyndon said, that you were paying attention. And I want to thank you for all the prayers. It has meant a lot that you have prayed. You prayed before the services. You prayed all this week. I guarantee that I'm pretty sure you all prayed for the revival and for the evangelist and for my family. I do thank you for that. There is a burden, a big burden in my heart, because we have a great opportunity that a lot of people don't have. And I am afraid many times I have seen young people that have gone to Bible school. They have grown up in somewhat of a stable home. You know, there's some things in our, we talked about that last night, and there's no perfect home. I don't know if you knew that or not, but I will break the news to you. There's no perfect home. Maybe some of you think that you have a perfect home, which that's good. I'm glad you think that way. Maybe I don't think it's such a thing as a perfect home. But young people that have been going to church from very little, I never remember a time where I never went, that I didn't go to church. I mean, I went with Dad, even though I took a nap at revival meetings, no problem. But I was there. Dad took me there. And there was no such thing that I don't want to go to church today. That did not exist. I didn't ask you whether you wanted to go. Come on, let's go. Great. And guess what? My burden is this. You have all these opportunities. And I have seen many examples of people, that young people that had forsook what they have learned. They said, I don't want wisdom. They don't verbalize this. But by their lives, they said, I don't want nothing to do with this. I'm walking away. And that is my burden for all of you that are here. Don't do the same. They go around looking for diamonds somewhere else. Like the man that forsook everything. Remember the story last night? Maybe you forgot it already. The bedtime story of the man that was looking for diamonds. And he sold everything and went away. Yeah, he ended up in Barcelona, Spain. Till he drowned. Whenever his field was full of diamonds. I want here to remind you again that you are sitting in the mine of diamonds, of wisdom, of wisdom. Take advantage of it. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to start there. And I want you to notice that we all have equal opportunity. For those of you that can hear me here tonight, we have an equal opportunity. You say, no, Henry, you don't understand. I have a unique story. Something happened to me. I'm sorry that happened. But you have the same opportunity. Every one of us have the same opportunity. And here I found it fascinating. As you look at this passage, I'm going to read the first 15 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Obviously, you will see that he's talking about the Israelites in the Old Testament, how they all had the same opportunity, but not all made it. Not all made it. And that bothers me. Why is that? I'm going to read it. Moreover, brethren, I will not that you should be ignorant how that all, I have highlighted all these words all in the first four verses. He mentions the word all, every one of them, every one of us. How that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat? And did all eat, drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now, this is the sad part. We're going to keep reading these verses, and I want you to notice the word many, some. I think it's those two words, many and some. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 3,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, that they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to men. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with that temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak to wise men, judge ye what I say. That's a fascinating passage to me. It explains very vividly what happens. At Bible school, you all had the same teaching. You all had the same opportunity. And what bothers me a lot is that some of you probably, I don't know if I should say it. I hope you all make it. I hope we all make it. Let's put it that way. I hope we all make it. But we all have the potential and the probability to go astray and to refuse instruction. So the point, again, the title is A Fool or a Wise, Which One Are You? Do you know that Jesus was concerned about this? This very thing, he said it very plainly. I thought about singing the wise men build his house upon a rock, but I'm just going to read it to you because, again, you know, the obvious, we're kind of scared of the obvious, right? But that song is tremendous message. That song is not just for the children, by the way. That song is for the older youth, you know, the young adults. Matthew 7, verse 24. Jesus said these words, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken them unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And we sing that song many times, but we don't even pay attention. What in the world would be the floods? What would be the tempest? What would be the rain that descended upon my house? Oh, it must be the storm that we had yesterday. No. This is talking about the big blows that you're going to face in life. This is the blows. These are the floods that come upon us and almost drowned us. It could be the death of loved ones. It could be the church splits. It could be disasters in relationships. It could be broken courtships. It could be a host of different things that will come to your life. I hope not, but that's life. And if you have your life built upon the rock of Jesus Christ, that simply means that you heard the teachings of Christ, and what do you do with it? Oh, it's too obvious. The answer is too obvious. You don't want to answer it. You heard it and you didn't. But, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall he liken unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Which one are you going to do? Are you going to be a wise person or are you going to be a fool? The fool person despises the instruction of his father. This is Proverbs 15, verse 5. The fool despises his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Verse 31 of Proverbs 15. The ear that heareth a reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. So which one are you going to be? A fool is a person who lacks good sense or judgment. A fool is a person that lacks good sense or judgment. Why? Because you despised it. Not because you didn't have opportunity. Not because you didn't have a chance. But it was because you refused it. Okay? You refused it. A lot of times it bothers me when I hear people giving excuses why they made foolish choices. They try to blame other people. They try to blame dad and mom. They try to blame the preachers. I just want to remind you that every one of us is responsible for our own choices. It doesn't matter what mom and dad did or didn't do. You have the opportunity to do differently. Okay? I'm not justifying the bad behavior of mom and dad or preachers or whoever is bad. I'm just challenge you, each one of you, that you have a chance to make it. Even if you have bad examples. Learn from them and don't do the same. That's all it takes. It's not that complicated, Brother Lyndon said. Okay, I'm not going to take the time to do the two columns. You can probably do them in your mind just because it takes a little bit of time to write things up. But I'm going to make two columns, and I'm just going to go the first column. We're going to describe what a foolish person looks like. And it's just 5 points, and in contrast, I'm going to do 5 points in contrast to those 5 points of a wise person. So we're going to start with a fool, and then we're going to end with the wise because we want to end up in a good note, right? So let's describe what a fool person looks like. The first thing I would like to suggest to you, that a fool is always right in his own eyes. Right? A fool is kind of like right in his own eyes. Proverbs says this, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Proverbs 3:7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. I'm sure you have seen people that think they're always right. Right? Have you ever heard them? They say, they think they know better than dad's advice. They think they know better than mom's advice. They think they know better than the preacher's advice. They actually don't even want to ask advice because they don't want advice. They know how to do things. And they feel like other people have their head stuck in the sand, right? And they don't have a clue of what's going on. Mom just worries too much. Dad is just old-fashioned. He don't even know how electronic things work. And he's trying to tell me how to handle that? We say fooey on him. I want to just remind you, young people, can you at least listen to the word of God? Can you at least listen? Be not wise in thine own eyes. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. But the fool thinks that he's always right. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. He makes a mistake, a big mistake, if he refuses reproof. When somebody gives you an advice, when somebody gives you a reproof, take it. Take it. Just accept it and say, thank you. I'm going to think about that. And do that. Just really think about it. Don't just dismiss it. Do that. But the fool doesn't do that. We're describing the fool. I'm already giving you the other side. But point number two. A fool makes fun of sin. He makes fun of sin. Makes light of things. The fools make a mock of sin. But among the righteous there is favor. That's Proverbs 14:9. I know I'm giving you a lot of references here. A lot of references. I'm reading a lot of Proverbs. Proverbs 10:23. It is a sport to a fool to do mischief. I wonder what the word there, mischief, would mean. But it sounds to me like somebody wants to be naughty, right? And we think it's fun. We think it's fun whenever we hit somebody on the head. Or, you know, we trip him up. And we laugh at him, make fun of him. Well, if we will stay with that, maybe we can at least deal with that. But it carries on. You start going on and you start listening to the wrong kind of music and you think it's the coolest thing in the world. It's a sport for a fool to do mischief. He makes fun of it. And again, he believes the lie of the devil that we talked about this morning, that there's no consequences. They say there's consequences. I've been living for 50 plus years, never bother nobody. They make fun of things, make light of consequences. Point number three, a fool is blind. A fool is blind. Proverbs 26:11, it gets repeated in 2 Peter. I'm going to read 2 Peter a little bit later. Maybe I won't take the time to read it, but here in Proverbs 26:11, it says, as a dog returneth to his vomit. Have you ever seen that? A dog, they barf, they vomit, and what do? They go and cover it up with dirt, right? They go back and eat it. Yikes. That's not good. That's, gross. And the Word of God didn't stop with that. This is a big lesson for us. So a fool returneth to his folly. And the folly just simply means it's a lack of good sense or normal prudence and foresight. A fool keeps repeating his own mistakes is really what he's saying. He makes a mistake, a blunder in his spiritual life, and a fool goes back to it. He doesn't learn from it. And that's what the Bible is trying to advise us. You know, don't be, your intellect, your intelligence should be above a dog. That's what he's saying. You need to learn. Don't be doing the same thing. But a fool is blind. He can't see it. We talked about that this morning, about the God of this world has blinded the minds, has blinded their hearts, and has blinded his eyes. He cannot see, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine upon them. Now, hear this verse here. Proverbs 20:20 is an easy reference to remember. Whoso curseth his father or mother, or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Now, what would that mean? Well, somebody that rebels and curses his father and his mother, I don't know what level is considered cursing to father and mother, but be careful how you talk to them. Okay, they are your parents. And we heard last night that you need to learn to honor your parents simply because they are your parents. Because that is the right thing to do. And the Bible doesn't spare much room. It doesn't give much room for rebels against their parents. And here's one of them. It says, if you curse your father and mother, your lights will be put out. Do you want to drive in the dark without your lights on in your vehicle? Maybe you should try that one day. No, don't try it, actually. You will wreck, or you'll call somebody to wreck. We said sometimes whenever somebody's not paying attention, right, and they did a very serious mistake, I say, man, he didn't have his lights on. You know, turn your lights on. Not in the vehicle, but watch what you're doing is what we're trying to say. But a person that is a fool is blind. Now, how about this verse, Proverbs 30:17? 30:17, the eye that mocketh at his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley should pick it out. Pick what out? Anybody pay attention? What? The eye, exactly. The eye that mocketh of his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the field or the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagle shall eat it. That's pretty graphic picture right there. So a fool that despises instruction of his father and his mother, you know what's going to happen? There will be no lights on. He won't know where to go. He goes through life just blundering around in darkness. And they don't even know what they believe. And I have seen this happen with young people that had the same opportunity as we do. And they have listened to the gospel. And they have knelt beside me at prayer meetings. And they decided, I'm leaving, I'm choosing the world. And today their life is dark. There's no light in them. They don't even know where they're going. They don't even know what their purpose is in life. They are completely in darkness. The next thing is a fool is empty. A fool is empty. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. Long time ago, when I was a youngster, in a missionary church there in Central America, El Salvador, we had a lot of people that came and were converted. They listened to the gospel. They repented. But whenever things got tough, they bailed out. And I have always struggled with this thought. Why is that? Why do people come to the knowledge of the truth and they live for the Lord and they lose out? They reject the truth somewhere along the line. And I remember as a young man, I studying this passage here for a topic I was supposed to have and on this particular subject. So this passage explains a lot of how false prophets are among the people. This is 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. And he gives a bunch of a description of what always happens. And jump with me to verse 12. But these are natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. And I don't have time to explain all this, neither do I claim to understand it all. But just go with me to verse 17. He's talking about these people, false prophets from among you. They started being deceived, and then they decided to turn away from the Lord. And he says, these are whales without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they are lured through the lust of the flesh. Through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. And I'm just reading the rest. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb that I just read a minute ago. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her own wallowing in the mire. There's many things I could say about this, but I just want to pull out verse 17. These people, a fool is empty. Notice what it says here. These are whales without water. They can pretend to look good. They can pretend to have their life put together. But there's nothing in there. There can be clouds that are just puffy clouds where they don't have rain. They can make a lot of noise like a drum, right? You get a big old drum, it makes a lot of noise. You open a drum and guess what is in there? Nothing. There's no substance to them. There's nothing there. Don't be a fool and end up like this, looking pretty, but there's nothing in there. There's no character left. There's no essence. There is nothing there. Whenever the tempest come into their lives, they will turn into wine, and they will turn into the alcohol, into drugs, all kinds of pleasures. That's where they're going to go. And they're going to make the destruction even worse, because that's my last point of a fool. Point number five, a fool's end is destruction. Go back with me to Proverbs chapter 5. I know some of you are very tired because you all went on a long walk and jogging, and you all didn't drink any coffee before the service. But go with me to Proverbs chapter 5. Why don't we just stand? You all can go ahead and stand while I read these verses. Go ahead and stand up for a change of position. Proverbs chapter 5. We're talking about that fool's end. Remember, my son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou should ponder the path of life, her ways are movable. Thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, all ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. Lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And verse 11 through 14 are the verses that I'm looking for. The end of a fool is destruction. And thou mourn at last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. You may be seated. I don't know if you heard that remorse in that person's life. At the end of his life, when everything was consumed, when everything was in shambles, when everything was in ruins, because the rivers came, and the floods came and pounded against his life, and there was no substance in him, and he was destroyed, and he fell. And he remembered the times when he heard instruction, and he said, no thanks. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. Don't end up there. Do not end up there. Now, I need to end up in a better note than this. You're going to be wise. I trust the Lord that you will. What is a wise person? Well, in contrast to the point number one, that the fool was not, he's always right. A wise person actually believes that he's not always right. Okay? We don't have life put together. I don't have everything. I don't understand everything. I have not learned everything that there is to be learned. And you better admit it. He recognizes God first. And listen, he also recognizes the people that God has allowed in his life. Today is very popular to live a life of individualism. You know, me and God, I don't need anybody else. I don't need church. I don't need religion. I don't need nobody telling me what to do. Me and God got this figured out. It doesn't sound to me like a person that is a wise person. Proverbs 1:8 says, my son, hear the instructions of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Do you ever hear me this week of saying that you need to listen to your parents? I hope that you can go home and think the value that you need to put on what you've been taught is a precious, precious diamonds in your own field, what you have learned. Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. Well, how do you remember thy creator? Well, just do what God tells you to do. That's a good way to put it to practice. He's telling you how to live. Point number two. I remember, let's see, the fool, he makes fun of sin. What would be the opposite of that? You know what? A wise person is sober. I would like you to think a little bit with me of what sober means. It's sober, if you look it up in the dictionary, it says it's marked by temperance, moderation, or seriousness. Now, I hope you understand that temperance means self-control. We don't use temperance very much in a common language. I can understand self-control, and that's what temperance is. So a sober person is not the one that makes light of sin, but is moderation and seriousness. A lot of times I get confused, or we actually get confused with the word sober. We think that a person that is sober is just somebody that does not drive under the influence of alcohol, or is not, he hasn't had too many beers. And we say, well, he's sober. Yeah, he can think. Sober, or also we think that sober is somebody that you all just have to listen to me, and you know, I'm not going to smile at anybody here, and I am going to be as serious as I can, which I can hardly do it. You know what sober really means? Maybe it's too obvious to answer, but it's somebody that actually thinks. Think, how my actions are going to affect me. If I do this, how is that going to play out? The old preachers used to say, you know, play the tape to the end. I don't know if you all don't remember what tapes are, right? There was little things like that, plastic, and it was pretty interesting things. We don't even know what CDs are anymore, but play the song to the end. Play the story all the way to the end. If I do this, what is going to be the sowing and reaping? What am I going to reap at the end? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I did not say that sober means to be stuck up. You all know that I enjoy good humor. I have made you laugh a few times this weekend. Thank you for laughing. But I'm hoping that you remember me not just for the laughter and the humor. I hope that you can actually think. Life is not a playground. It's a battlefield. Yeah, we're going to have a good time at Bible school. And it's good that we have good times at Bible school. But we also are learning how to think. To think soberly. To think squarely, look at an issue. How is this affecting my life? How would this affect my children? I know for you it's hard to imagine that, but it will be here before you know it. That you're going to have to stand up for the next generation. That's where I am at now. Do you realize that your actions will have an equal or greater reaction? Be sober. Think. Just use the common sense that God has given you. Do the right thing. Sometimes we don't know what to do. And we cry out to the Lord, and Lord, for you, please give me wisdom. Here's a decision I have to make. What should I do? Ask advice. Remember, you're not always right. But at least think. Process that and say, this is what I'm going to do. I don't know what else to do, but this is where we're going to go. Number three, the fool, he had his legs knocked out, but a wise person, he can actually see. You know why? Because the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ has shined in your heart. And also, now you have the word of God that in Psalm 119, 105, it says what? Thy word is a... Ooh, look at that. Wonderful Bible scholars here. A lamp. Unto what? Unto my feet. Very good. And a light unto my... Wonderful. Y'all good to go. You are wise people here. Y'all know where to go. You can see. You can see. And sometimes we wish the Lord would show us what the future holds. And you have heard the explanation we give. No, the Lord gives us a light to our path for the next step forward and the next thing. And it's always the next right thing to do. Whatever you think is the right thing to do, not the way you think, but with wisdom and understanding of God and counseling from others, you take the next step and do the right thing. You can see where you're going. You don't have to blunder around through life and committing this and doing that in all kind of evil like the man in Proverbs chapter 5, that he was in almost in every evil. And point number 4, we talked about being the fool was empty. It was hollow, no substance. It's the opposite. A prudent is not a fool, F-O-O-L, but it's actually full, F-U-L-L, of the Holy Spirit. Right? There is something in you. There is character in you. There's character that was built and it was strengthened. John chapter 7 verse 38 says, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." There's so much death and corruption in our world. There's nothing living. There's no life there. But because of you, you can bring life into situations. And I remember stopping at this verse, verse 38. But he also, the next verse is talking about this he spake of the Spirit of God that they will receive. That's what he's talking about. The Spirit of God is within you. 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's go there. We're almost done here. 2 Peter chapter 1. It's the things that you need to be filling your life with. A prudent is not is full. It's F-U-L-L. It's not empty. But here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. 2 Peter 1, 4. "Whereby we are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge," there it is, temperance, self-control, self-control. "And to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make you calling and election sure. If you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." And all I can say is, Lord, please help us that our lives would be this way, filled with these things. If you have these things and abound in your heart, you will not be blind. You will be full. And then the last point, remember the fool's end was destruction. He ended up in destruction. Nothing left. House fell. His life was a wreck. But a prudent end is a happy one. It's a happy one. And we can see this here in 2 Peter chapter 2 with the one we just read. "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make you call an election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Savior, Jesus Christ." Proverbs 10:17 says he is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. But he that refuses reproof erreth. You will have a tremendously good, happy end in your life if you follow the Lord. We will reap, how does Galatians say, if we faint not, we shall also reap, or something like that. There's rewards coming for the Christian. Sometimes I know the path gets a little tough, but we have to remember that one day the Lord will give us a crown of life, not because we deserved it, but because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. I want to be a wise person. I want to be the person that hears the word of Christ and put it to practice. I don't want to be the one that heareth the word and forgetteth. But I want to be a doer of the word. I want to choose life. I want to choose the treasure that has been offered to me. Right in our own field. You don't have to go through the world looking for fulfillment. Looking for something, a substance that will fulfill you. It's right here. Right at your fingertips. Don't despise it. Embrace it. Embrace it. There's many young people that have sat where you are, and today their life is a wreck. I can understand whenever somebody doesn't have the opportunity, and I'm going to tell you a story here in closing. And I can understand how a person that never had the opportunity will end up in destruction, but I can hardly accept the fact the person like you and me that had the opportunity, they forsook it and ended up in a wreck of their lives. The story is about Toñito. I told this story 10 years ago. Toñito was a young man that lived in my community. He was a little older than I was. He went to the Christian school, our church. Mission had a Christian school that the community children could come. I went to that school all my schooling years, and from first to ninth grade, we had about 100 students. Most of them were from the community. I had very good memories of that. Beside the point, Toñito had the opportunity to go to the Christian school. And I'm not exactly sure why he did not live with his parents. He lived with his aunt. His aunt was the one that raised him. And of course, his aunt had her own children to take care of. And I'm not sure how she accepted Toñito or not. But Toñito got some serious beatings from his aunt growing up. I mean, tremendous. Tremendous beatings. He came to school. Of course, I'm sure it was a lot of trouble in his life. And he grew up to be a young man, very, very strong. Hispanics tend to be short, by the way, even something shorter than I am. But Toñito was actually a little taller than I was, and he became very strong. Very strong. One time, of course, school got over. He went with his life. He was living a very wicked life, drowning in alcohol. His dad was actually a drunkard. Again, I don't know why he never lived with his parents, but his dad was known as a drunkard to the point that they claim, I don't have a way to verify in some of these details, but they claim that his dad jumped in front of an 18-wheeler to commit suicide. That was the end of his dad. Well, one time, I was about 17 years old, and of course, we were kind of normal young people. We wanted to go and play volleyball at the school. The school had a chain link fence the whole way around with a gate, because there's a lot of people that, you know, abused the properties, and we tried to keep people out. So I was there. I was the first one there, got there on my bicycle or walking, I forget. And I'm waiting for somebody to bring the key to get inside the gate so we can play volleyball. And again, Toñito was a little older than me. probably upper teens, maybe even 20 years old by then. And I saw him coming. I was sitting on a chunk of concrete there by the entrance, and I saw him coming, and something was not quite right with him because his eyes were like flaming reddish, right? They were very red eyes. And he came and started ramming the gate like a wild man. I mean, he would just take his shoulder, and he was a strong man. And of course, I was pretty small back then, very skinny, and I was getting scared. And of course, he was my friend. We were buddies. Of course, we had kind of parted ways. He was doing wicked things. I was trying to follow the Lord. And I start talking to him. I don't know what you do whenever you get nervous, but I talk. I said, Toñito, calm down. Calm down, man. And he will ram the gate. Ram the gate. And he started mumbling something. He said, why? Why? And he will boom. Boom, ram that gate. Why? Why? And he took his shirt off and started tearing it with his teeth. And I'm like, Toñito, please calm down. And he kept saying, why? Why? I couldn't have a home like yours. Why? I don't know what... what all he had taken that day. But somebody told me later that he had spent all his paycheck drinking and drugs and everything. But there was a pain in his life because he never had an opportunity like I did. I can understand, Toñito. But I can understand why people that had the opportunity end up in a wreck of their lives. Toñito, we tried to witness to him. He tried to serve the Lord, but he didn't make it. He went back to his old drunkenness, the same path of his dad. And it wasn't maybe a couple years later, I'm sorry, a couple years ago, that I received the bad news that Toñito had hung himself. End of destruction. Why? I just share that with you young people because it burdens me to think the opportunity that we have. And some of those fellows, they wish so bad they could at least had the kind of parents that you have. But they didn't. Sad. Very sad story. I just want to encourage you young people. Remember, there's a lot of diamonds in your own field. Love it. Appreciate it. Live for the Lord. It's worth it. It is worth it. Do not end like the story of Toñito. And I apologize for getting emotional. I know I'm getting tired and it's time for me to sit down. But I just want to encourage you one more time to let the grace of God work in your life and follow the Lord. Follow the Lord. There's a lot of diamonds in your field. Thank you very much.